Let's lead this podcast with a personal finance story. The all-you-can-eat data plan for smartphones comes back from the dead. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. AT&T is doing something it hasn't in years. It's offering wireless data plans that have no cap. You can use as much data as you want. But there's a catch involving your flat-screen TV. This unlimited deal is only available for customers who sign up for wireless along with DirecTV. That's the satellite company AT&T bought for $49 billion last year. AT&T's other TV system, U-verse, also counts. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York on the context here.
An unlimited data plan is a much harder thing to find these days, which is why AT&T thinks it's tasty enough bait to get people to buy more stuff. Brett Sappington directs research at Parks Associates.
A significant number of AT&T wireless customers don't have DirecTV, and a significant percentage of DirecTV customers don't have AT&T wireless.
Wall Street loves cross-selling because when it's done right, it's an efficient way to wring more money out of customers, such as the 36 million homes that have AT&T Wireless or DirecTV, but not both. Getting AT&T customers to choose DirecTV over cable may be a challenge because installation and switching hassles come into play. Amanda Lotz at University of Michigan says the new deal may appeal more to DirecTV customers.
It does provide a compelling offer to take a look at AT&T, but I also expect that Verizon will be coming back with some sort of opportunity to keep those subscribers.
Don't expect to go back to the days when unlimited data plans were widespread. We're using more data than ever, and companies want us to pay accordingly. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
China's stock market fell 9% last week, 5% yesterday, but the key index in Shanghai did not fall further today. It was up 0.7%. Part of what ails the Chinese market are persistent fears about growth in China. Today I caught up with the CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, who was traveling in China for an annual meeting in his largest market outside the U.S. He thinks the dire talk about China is overdone.
What I see on the ground, despite all the press and the noise, is an economy that is still consumer-based. People are upbeat, although the stock market in China has gone down and going through a rough period and certainly having a cause and effect on the U.S. sentiment in our own markets. The people invested in the stock market here in China only represents about 6% of total households. You have to recognize that this is a cyclical change. But the long-term opportunity here in China, I think, is very significant. And one day, our business in China at Starbucks could be bigger than the business in the U.S.
Starbucks is starting cash housing allowances for employees in China. If you miss my conversation with the Starbucks CEO on the air, it'll be in the first Marketplace podcast of the day. There's also confirmation today a Chinese conglomerate is buying a big Hollywood studio. Dalian Wanda Group is paying $3.5 billion cash for Legendary Entertainment. Patrick Frater is Variety's Asia editor. He spoke with our partners at the BBC.
This is a colossal deal in terms of Chinese putting their money into Hollywood. We've been expecting this kind of thing for a long time. There's been a lot of talk about deals in the last couple of years. They've been talking about buying studios. That seemed to me to be a little bit exaggerated, but this deal actually gives them studio-level properties that they can eventually turn into theme parks and merchandise and toys without actually having to buy the whole apparatus or try to run a studio, which is something that many foreign companies have actually failed at doing in the past.
Legendary Entertainment was one of the big names behind Jurassic World and Dark Knight, but its Crimson Peak from this last year was only okay. They produce and finance, but they don't distribute movies like some of the other studios. Following the global climate change agreement in Paris last month, carbon markets are getting renewed attention. Now, these allow polluters to offset emissions by, for example, paying forest owners to preserve their trees and keep carbon dioxide production down that way. Reporter Jeff Tyler looks at two pilot programs in Oregon.
When a forest represents your checking account, savings account, and retirement funds, it's not so easy to make a quick withdrawal for a medical emergency.
In today's world, it's probably one of the bigger things that people worry about is how am I going to take care of my health care?
Scott Russell owns forest land northwest of Portland, Oregon. Russell has seen neighbors forced to sell their tree farms because someone got sick. He's been considering a new pilot program that would link health insurance with conservation. Carbon markets allow forest owners to monetize the carbon stored in their trees. In this case, the profits would pay for health insurance.
In a lot of cases, it could make a difference in whether people hang on to their farms or not.
Ben Hayes is with the Pinchot Institute for Conservation.
So when that land goes up for sale, the typical buyer these days is either an institutional investor or some sort of industrial owner. And so if that's mature timber, you have the risk of it being very quickly cut here in the Northwest for export.
The Pinchot Institute is piloting two programs linked to the carbon markets. One is tied to healthcare, and another one allows small property owners to aggregate their forest land in order to compete.
It's very hard for a small property owner, even though they accumulate a lot of carbon, to access the carbon market.
That's Woody Richin, who has inherited partial ownership of 450 acres of forest.
You know, it's a little bit like mutual funds, I guess, where a small investor needs the help of some kind of an aggregator or some additional expertise.
Historically, carbon markets have only been an option for large landowners with deep pockets that can afford the upfront costs.
We are making a contribution. If others are getting paid to store carbon, you know, why shouldn't the little guy have an opportunity to do that too?
The carbon markets still have some downsides. For one thing, the best rate on the current carbon market pays about four times less than selling trees for timber. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.